Ain't No Casablanca by Saucery, read by Marianas. Style slurps his Slurpee because Slurpees are meant to be slurped. The waitress, a pretty Thai girl with tentacles sprouting out of her back. Damn, but half-alien chicks are hot. Especially when they're also half-cephalopods, capable of enacting every depraved fantasy of multiple penetration you have ever had. Not that Styles has had many, if by many you mean few. Slides a plate of fried, hopefully chicken, towards him with one tentacle, even as she slides two more plates of hopefully peanuts and hopefully crackers at the two other customers. At least one of those peanuts is stirring. Styles chooses not to pay attention to it. Selective hearing ain't enough for this job. You need selective consciousness. Unfortunately, they're not allowed to use neuralizers on themselves, so consciousness. Selective. Going with that theme, Styles bites his hopefully chicken finger, not actual finger, and grins. Derek glowers at the waitress like a very badly disguised Terminator. All that's missing is the glowing red eyes. You do know we're not here to arrest anyone, Styles reminds him, because he has to. Or kill anyone. We must always be prepared to arrest and or kill at a moment's notice. Did you seriously just say and or? Who says that? You do. In fact, you just did. Hot bloody hot. Real funny. Oh, and the fact that I said the word bloody doesn't mean you get to make this place bloody. Capiche? Stop mispronouncing Italian words. It's a disgrace. What's disgraceful about it? We're supposed to be able to speak 488 alien languages fluently, and you can't even master Italian. Hey, I can also speak Zirconian fluently enough to arrange a 10-member, and yes, that means 10-penis, wedding on planet Zircon, while also convincing the planet's head, and yes, that means dickhead, literally and metaphorically, to make peace with the Brolians on our terms. That was an accident. Who instigates massive planet-wide orgies by accident? You do. In fact, you just did. Yesterday. Are you complimenting me? Was that a compliment? Let me die now. I won't. Huh? Let you die. Styles stares. Now, or in the future, or in the past, should a time skip or temporal phase occur as the result of one of our missions. Styles has no words. For a while. For a second. 2 seconds. Derek studies the menu. He's completely expressionless behind his sunglasses, like he hasn't just... hasn't. Styles' heart is pounding. 3 seconds. 4. He says finally, because if he's silent any longer, the fabric of space-time might warp and the sun might crash into the earth, or something. His voice sticks in his throat. Did we just have a JK moment, like from the history books? Agents J and K had their own partnership, we have ours. Are you telling me not to compare our marriage to anyone else's? Is that it, D? Were you reading the Cosmo magazines outside Agent L's office while waiting to get our orders? Derek shrugs, turning the menu over. Wasn't much else to do. And Styles is staring. Again. Did you just make a joke? Derek looks up at him, still expressionless. Even his eyebrows aren't sending secret traitorous messages, like they sometimes do when they're colluding with Styles against their own master. No. The word is solid, like a rock. Oh, says Styles, weakly. Of course. I just... There's nothing wrong with a grown man reading Cosmo. Not if it's a buff man with shoulders wide enough to carry the Empire State Building. The real one, currently being held hostage by alien mermen several leagues under the sea, and not the fake holographic one currently gracing the city of New York. I work out. You sure do. Hell, you don't just work out with the weights work out with you. Hyperbole is unflattering. But your pants sure are. Flattering. So flattering. Damn that astonishing thing that you definitely don't have beneath your spine and above your legs that starts with an A and ends with a double S. Uh-huh, totally not that. Don't kill me. I just said I wouldn't let you die. Yeah, but die is a passive word. Kill is active. and you're glaring at me. That makes it very, very active. You need to revise your grammar lessons. And I'm not glaring. Dude, your eyebrows are so low, they're practically doing the limbo under the central axis of your face. That isn't anatomically possible. Not only is it possible, it's the limbo of death. Derek grunts, and his eyebrows float back up, like inflatable lifeboats. Lifeboats for Styles to get away on, away from the sinking ship of this conversation. The sinking Titanic of this conversation. Jesus, that ship is doomed. Styles is the idiotic captain, Derek is the iceberg. The very hot iceberg. Except that icebergs can't actually be that hot, you know, because they'd melt. Yeah, Styles' brain isn't making any sense right now. When does it ever? Then, as if to prove it, his brain comes up with this sparkling gem of tact. You ever realize that our partnership kind of sounds like a kinky sadomasochistic abbreviation? Derek barely notices him. He's studying the menu, again, probably translating it into the 50 different dialects of the Hosnari just as a personal challenge. To keep himself sharp, or whatever, even though if Derek gets any sharper, he'll end up slicing the air. I mean, like, JK were the joking duo. In Leet speak, JK means just kidding or joking, doesn't it? Not that their partnership was a joke. J and K had a great partnership. It was no joking matter. No disrespect intended. Styles babbles when he notices Derek's back tense. Derek relaxes. Slowly. It's hilarious how much of a man crush he has on the best agents that ever agented. Especially Agent K. Okay. Styles can just imagine Derek keeping a huge photo of Kay in his apartment, ensconced in a creepy candlelit shrine, before which he performs a proper Japanese obeisance each morning, after lighting sticks of incense and slaughtering a small animal in Kay's honor. All Styles has to do is make sure that Styles isn't that small animal. And the way to make sure of that is to never insult Jay and Kay. Ever. But, moving on. My point was, we're DNS, right? DS, Dominance and Submission? Derek doesn't laugh. Well, okay, Derek never laughs, but Derek's eyebrows aren't laughing either. On the inside. Even Derek's eyebrows laugh on the inside. Never on the outside, God forbid. Who knows what toxins and aliens and monsters and conspiracies and nuclear holocausts and paranoid delusions are waiting on the outside. Eventually, Derek says, "You don't capitalize the S." Styles' pulse stutters, like a flame, a tiny flame, in a storm. A violent storm. A storm named Derek. It's DS, with a small s. If you must use sadomasochistic notation, do it correctly. Correctly, Styles manages, after an eternity of attempting to regain the power of speech and mostly failing. His voice isn't just sticking to his throat anymore, it's superglued to it. He has to rip it off like the world's toughest, meanest bandage, and the result is a breathless croak that fucking hurts. Yeah, will do. Good. Boy, Derek doesn't say, but he doesn't have to. Styles hears it anyway. How'd you know I was capitalizing it? I always know. Because you're telepathic? Because you're transparent. It makes you a terrible agent. But an awesome partner. Fun to boss around, huh, D? With a capital D. Derek pushes his glasses further up his nose. And yeah, now his eyebrows are laughing. Yes. Score. But then, before Styles can gloat eloquently and at length about his Pyrrhic victory, their contact arrives. Ambassador Milokrovisos Njarvik of the planet Kolomandaristolopinar strolls in the door, in an ironic stroller, with a dummy plugged into his mouth. He has the body of a 6-month-old baby. Not that Styles is good with baby ages, they all look like potato heads to him. And the slitted eyes of a cat. His caretaker bodyguard, a tall woman that's most likely from Valerin, the intergalactic and interdimensional guild of assassins, methodically removes his dummy, unhooks him from the stroller, and sets him down on the bar, where he stands up and helps himself to a hopefully not finger, and smiles. with teeth. Lots and lots of very pointy, very red teeth. Red, because the Colomandaristalopinarians love their raw beef. Their extremely raw beef. As in, raw enough to still be living on the cow when they eat it. Yuck. At the merest sight of those teeth, the two other, we're not aliens, no really, customers, take the opportunity to disappear. Discreetly. Their doorbell tinkles as they make their escape. "Too overcooked, this?" says Milokrovisos Snarvik, surveying the chicken, or maybe soy, or maybe just space dung, finger, critically. "We're sorry we can't provide the appropriate refreshments," Derek says smoothly, smiling his own urbane, scarily carnivorous smile. For a moment, Stiles isn't sure whose smile is scarier, but then he remembers that Milokrovisos Snarvik only agreed to be their informant because Derek pulverized the ambassador's previous army of bodyguards with his bare fists. And, yeah, Derek is scarier. Way scarier. That's why the ambassador only bothered to bring one bodyguard this time. As a show of respect. Or frugality. Why waste money on a gazillion bodyguards when no number of them, no matter how extravagant, will suffice? Not against Agent D of the MIB. "Yeah, what he said," Stiles adds. Braver, because Derek is on his side. "So sorry, it's tragic." Milokrovisos Snarvik's eyes narrow. A hiss more like a snake's than a cat's emerges from him, and the bodyguard wipes some drool from his chin. "Do you want the information or not?" "They want the information." Turns out, the Colomandaristalopinarians are on the brink of staging a rebellion that's only about a week away from coming to fruition, and if it does, the Shinian Empire won't have any choice but to hand over the responsibility of the Colomandaristalopinarian government back to the Colomandaristalopinarians to be ruled by the people for the people, and all that jazz. The Colomandaristalopinarians are horrible douchebags with appalling dietary habits, but at least they don't eat humans. Their independence is preferable to the continuing rule and growing military might of the Shinians, who do eat humans. With mayonnaise. The Shinians have a thing for mayonnaise. Milokrovisos Snarvik demands arms. Weapons arms, not arms arms, as in not limbs belonging to people. Derek offers several thousand kilotons of the finest explosives on the market. Milokrovisos Snarvik points out that what's on the market isn't the best that Earth has. The best that Earth has is with the men in black. Derek smiles. Again. Milokrovisos Snarvik smiles right back. They engage in a contest of, "My smile is more menacing than yours. Damn right it's more menacing than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge," for about 15 minutes. After which Milokrovisos Snarvik, unsurprisingly, caves. Derek pretends to be polite by apologizing for the fact that classified MIB technology is not on offer. But surely the Colomandaristalopinarians are not so incompetent and weak as to be unable to stage a simple rebellion without that much firepower. Stiles interrupts to explain that, truthfully, Derek's paying the Colomandaristalopinarians a compliment by emphasizing how mighty and clever and super competent they are. The ambassador cuts him a glance. A very cutting glance that cuts. Stiles shuts up. About an hour later, after the waitress has repeatedly attempted to flirt with Milokrovisos Snarvik, it figures that her type is flesh-eating infant, it just figures. They call it a day, and Milokrovisos Snarvik's bodyguard puts him back in the stroller and wheels him out the door. Another day, another interplanetary crisis averted. Stiles yawns and stretches. "Not yet," Derek growls, because he always growls after negotiations and diplomatic missions, as though having to talk like a civilized person for an extended period of time just makes him want to tear off his suit, put on a loincloth, grab the nearest Stiles-shaped club, and go roaring into the wilderness. Speaking of which, the loincloth would be sexy. Real sexy. Albeit in a tacky kind of way, like a Star Trek episode set on a pseudo-historical alien planet in which everybody is inexplicably naked. Or half-naked. And oiled. Derek. Oiled. In a loincloth. "Why, hello there, Mr. Hardon. We'll take care of you tonight. Alone. With our right hand. Our lonely right hand. And some lube." Because Derek's abs would feel that slippery, with oil on them. "Eh, you know. They'll beat the Shinians. It's a done deal, with the blueprints we're also going to be handing them. The blueprints of the Shinian command base, come on." Blueprints that you acquired, Derek says, and just like that, his growl is gone. He looks... Approving isn't the word, because approving isn't a word in Derek's dictionary, but... something. Something vaguely non-murderous. Maybe even fond. Okay, no. But maybe. If Derek and Stiles were dating, which they're not, except in Stiles' fevered imagination, this would be a case of, Doctor, help! Agent D is coming down with a severe case of bedroom eyes! Except that, A, Stiles can't see Derek's eyes through those goddamn sunglasses, and B, Derek would never give him bedroom eyes. Not even if they were in a bedroom and could see each other's eyes. Damn. Life sucks sometimes. It sucks like a pro. It sucks like Stiles would like to suck on Derek's... We should go, Derek murmurs, giving Stiles an odd sort of once-over, the sort that usually only happens when there's been gunfire or laser fire, and Stiles may have been hit, and Derek's scanning him for damage with his Terminator eyes. Go, we should, Stiles says in his Yoda voice, and hops off the barstool. Update the agency with our mission status, we must. Stop that. The Jedi Council anxious will be. Stop. No. Agent S, says Derek, and the S is so obviously a little S that Stiles does stop. Everything about him stops. And starts again, a couple seconds later, when Derek cups a hand under his elbow and gently guides them to the car, like Stiles is unstable or fragile and may vanish into a cross-dimensional vortex if Derek lets him go. The car this time is Derek's Camaro, which Stiles doesn't like nearly as much as his own Jeep, mostly because the Camaro's a beast on four wheels and four fusion-powered jet engines, which is ridiculous and clearly overcompensation for something, whereas Stiles' Jeep is honest and rugged and gets the job done, even with a decades-old propulsion engine pulled from a dismantled cargo plane. Yep. Your dick is small, Stiles snaps, viciously, as he gets in and straps on the seatbelt. No, it isn't, Derek counters, still weirdly patient, and pulls out into the street at a speed that obeys the traffic rules and common decency. Miracles do happen. I believe in miracles, Stiles is obliged to say. You sexy thing. You're contradicting yourself. Why? Small dicks can absolutely be sexy. Don't sell yourself, short, Agent D. On our next mission to Corvidine, I'm going to leave you to the crows. You wouldn't, Stiles gasps. I will. I thought you said you'd never let me die. I didn't say I wouldn't let you suffer. There's something fraught about that. About how Derek says that. Fraught and hungry and... It makes Stiles' hormones do inconvenient somersaults in his bloodstream, like trapeze artists rehearsing for the gala opening night of a lifetime, except... Yeah, no. No gala night here, folks. There ain't even a circus. Pack up and go home. Promises, promises, says Stiles, past the tightness in his chest. I don't do promises, Derek says. I do threats. Oh. Stiles' heart is not jackhammering. It's just not. Stiles' body isn't a freaking construction site. No matter that Derek seems to think it is. Not that Derek thinks much about it at all. This is clearly not a flirtation in progress here. Crimes? Crimes are in progress. Interspecies crimes, even. Crimes they're out to prevent or solve, depending on the mission specs. And today's mission specs did not include torment your hapless younger partner with possibly sexual innuendo. Did they? No, they did not. Stiles must stand firm. Stiles' dick, however, must not. Stand firm. On anything. But particularly on his lap, where it is easily visible should Derek care to look. Not that he'd ever look, why would he ever look at it? If Stiles' dick were a drowning swimmer caught in a riptide and desperately flailing its arms, Derek would be the unconcerned lifeguard who'd just think it was waving hello. No need of rescue at all. As far as Stiles' dick is concerned, it's a non-entity in their partnership. Derek would spit on it as soon as... Spit. Lick? No, stroke. You look like you're having a stroke, Derek observes, in supernaturally perfect deadpan, like he's attended Xavier's school for gifted deadpanners, and graduated with a valedictorian's trophy that's shaped like a cross between a gravestone and a pan, subtly and artistically symbolizing both death and pannishness. For the dead is nothing without the pan. "I wish I were," Styles chokes out, and immediately flushes, horrified by what he's just said. Derek just pulls over, calm as can be, shuts off the ignition, and unbuckles his seatbelt. And Styles's, when Styles shows no signs of moving, instead choosing to plaster himself against the back of his seat, in the vain hope that it will either swallow him up like Derek will never swallow him up, or down, or that it becomes maliciously sentient and will smother him until he mercifully passes out. Or dies. Not that Derek will ever let him die. Bastard. "Well?" asks Derek, after Styles has been sitting there for incalculable minutes, doing his best impression of a thing that is not there. Or here. Or anywhere. Not a very convincing impression, then, if Derek can see right through it. Like he sees through everything. Bastard. "What?" Styles rasps. He's so embarrassed and humiliated and also petrified that he's scarcely audible. "We're here." "Where's here? Oh shit," Styles says when he looks out the window and sees the familiar shape of his cheap, rundown apartment building. "It's time," Derek announces, in a very announcy, proclaiming the Constitution kind of tone, "for you to learn, in person, that I always carry out my threats. It's what makes me an effective agent." "It's what makes you a sadist," Styles retorts, hoping against hope that it's true. He climbs out of the car on wobbly legs and ignores Derek's smirk as they make it up the elevator. This isn't happening. It just isn't. The cephalopod waitress must have spiked his drink with hallucinosis-inducing squid ink, or something, and none of this is real. Derek isn't following him into his room, or backing him up against the wall, or tugging his tie off with a slither that sounds like the loudest whisper in the world. "If I were a sadist, I wouldn't do this," Derek says, and then proceeds to demonstrate how much of a sadist he really isn't. Is? Isn't. The jury's still out on that. And it remains out. Out of the solar system, even. When Derek's belt finds a new purpose in life around Styles' wrists, and Styles' knees find a new purpose in life at Derek's feet, and their hearts find a new purpose in life, beating in time, pressed together through their sweat-slick chests. "You're a sadist," Styles mumbles, unable to do so much as twitch, because every single movement his body could ever make has been wrung out of him, thoroughly and almost dutifully, over the past however many hours. It's light out, but only because it was dark before, and light before that, when they first got here. "Mm," says Derek, which isn't agreement or disagreement, and his eyes are so much better without the sunglasses, it's surreal. Maybe this is that wish-fulfilling holosuite Styles hadn't bought from that dodgy alien because it was illegal and also immoral to make his sexually and romantically uninterested partner the star of his very own virtual unreality. "If this is real," Styles continues, still stumbling through his sentences like a blind man, even though he's no longer blindfolded. Derek's tie had found a new purpose in life, too. "An L will kill us, creatively." "I told you I wouldn't let you die," Derek says, in the long-suffering manner of someone who's getting sick of repeating himself. "And I'm more creative than she is." Can't argue with that. Styles has been a first-hand witness to Derek's monumental creativity, where monument can be aptly and accurately replaced with magnum, manhood, or giant penis. "Go to sleep," Derek commands. Commands, like... Styles' dick tries valiantly to make a comeback. But it can't. It just can't. Not even if Jesus himself returned to raise it, Lazarus-like, from the grave. Oh, crap. He's become one of those people that has no boundaries. He's committing sacrilege. Although, the butt sex is sacrilegious enough when he thinks about it. And he is thinking about it. He'll be thinking about it, and his brain will be thinking about it, as long as they both shall live. Sleep, Agent S. And maybe it's the little S that does it, because Styles sleeps. The end. I believe in miracles. Where from? You sex of
sex affair.
Colomandaristolopinarians. This is why I wanted to record this podfic, and also why it was a terrible, terrible idea. Turns out, the Colomandaristolopinarians are on the brink of staging... I can't say brink. I can say Colomandaristolopinarians fine, but I can't say brink. They engage in a contest of, my smile is more menacing than yours, damn right. Oh. That's a song lyric. Not yet, Derek growls, because he always growls after negotiations and diplomatic missions, as though having to talk like a civilized person for an extended period of time just makes him want to tear off his stoot. Tear off his stoot. And the S is so obviously a little S that Derek... that Styles, in fact. Agent S, says Derek, and the S is so... I hate fucking S's. That is a fucking long sentence. Why did I decide to do this again? Like his attended Xavier's school for gifted deadpanator. Deadpanators. Instead choosing to plaster himself against the black of his seat. This is not working for my English brain.